In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As most of you know, I live in the woods. The approach road to our driveway is a dirt road. Our driveway is a dirt road. With all the rain we've been having, it's more like a mud road. This kind of road requires a lot of maintenance. You got to get out there with the tools and keep things straight, or the water will jump out of the ditch and tear up your road. So water's the enemy, and I try to keep the ditches maintained, but been pretty lazy this year. It's been cold and rainy, and I just didn't want to get out there. So there's a part of the road that we share with one other next-door neighbor, and nobody else comes down there. So last Saturday, I finally got out there and started working on that, and I spent 2 or 3 hours. And then Sunday, going home from church, I noticed some tire tracks down in the ditch there. And I said, I bet I know what that is, you know. But then on Monday, I was getting ready to go hiking, and I hear an engine racing. And I said, you know, this kid next door, he's got a little Toyota truck, and he's got these huge tires, you know, that stick out this far. So he's down there playing off-road, you know, and tearing up all the work I did. So I started getting mad. You know, I don't usually get mad, but I said, well, I'm going hiking. I got my dog. He wants to go, and I'm not going to focus on that, you know. So I go up in nature, and I get tired. And on the way back, I was listening to the testimony of an interesting fellow named Roosh. He was raised in Armenian church, and I know we're not in communion with him, but the things he talks about mostly are compatible. He doesn't talk about theology. He talks about turning away from his former life of total carnal dissipation, really. I mean, he was famous as a pickup artist. I won't go into all that, but listening to him talk about what's really important in life, and he has really completely turned around. He moved to the mountains, which, of course, I like, and now he's praying that God will send him a wife. He's just living in a house by himself in the mountains and praying and said, God, if you want me to have a wife, you send me one, you know. When I was listening to him, I started thinking, well, you know, this is the things he's talking about are way more important than some mud on the road, you know. But I still need to talk to that kid the next time I see him. I tried to talk to him on the way out, and I said, hey, and he didn't stop. So, you know, and a few days later, I was walking down there, and I said, well, look at there. Somebody put some rocks over that mud. So I think the lady next door, she's actually pretty nice, and she probably said, son, I see all that mud you kicked up. Take that truck and go get some rocks, you know. So I was glad that I didn't speak to him. Now, I wasn't going to speak to him harshly, but still, you know. Sometimes it's better just to say nothing, you know, although I find it hard to do. Last week, we heard about the last judgment, and I know you want to talk about it some more, right? We were told we will be judged whether we visit the sick, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and many other or other works, you could call them works of charity, but there's some things we should do in addition to that, or you might say it's part of doing that, or preparing ourselves for doing that, or it all works together. Today's epistle, we're told to cast off the works of darkness, and some of them are listed: reveling in drunkenness, debauchery and licentiousness, quarreling and jealousy, and to put on the armor of light. So turning away from those dark things means turning to these good things, turning from the darkness of the world and turning to the works of charity, to the good works. You know, sometimes we have to do this in little steps, and so we may not become, you know, Mother Teresa overnight, but of course we don't, you know. But they go hand in hand. It's turning from those dark things to the light, the good works. But today we're thinking about the beginning of Lent. In the gospel, the Lord says, when you fast. He didn't say, if you fast. Don't go around looking gloomy so that other people will see that we're fasting. Let's clean up and look normal. I don't think this applies so much in the culture we live in, because nobody even pays attention to us that we're fasting. You know, they don't know. But it still applies in terms of, let's say during Lent you go to a friend's house that's not Orthodox and they set something down on the table that you're not supposed to eat. Do you say, oh my goodness, no, I'm an Orthodox. It's Lent. I can't be eating that, you know. Well, then you're making a show of it. Maybe it's better to just eat it. Or maybe it's better to just take it and eat a little bit and, you know, don't make a pig out of yourself or whatever. And also don't deliberately go to that friend's house because you know they're going to give you a steak, you know. I wouldn't do a thing like that. In the gospel, the Lord also says if we forgive others their sins against us, then God will forgive us. But if we do not forgive them, he will not forgive us. I don't think that needs a whole lot of explanation. Seems clear. It's not optional. It is not optional. I didn't say it. And then he says, do not lay up treasures on earth. What are treasures on earth? You think of a big pile of gold in your safe? Yeah, that would be something. Material stuff. But it could be other things. It could be sexual conquests, awards, degrees, seeking glory in this world. So what are treasures in heaven? I'm not sure I know. I think they are spiritual things that come to us as a result of turning to the light, of forgiveness and doing those good works. And we don't have to wait until we die to receive the blessings of those things. It comes now, today, even though it's hard to do. But the reward is almost in the doing itself. So if we choose to live in the light now, we're already in heaven. We don't make such a division between heaven and earth as some other Christians do. We try to live in heaven already. We're all going to die. We're all going to become dust, our bodies. And those earthly treasures, you say they'll mean nothing then, but they could be worse than nothing. It could be the things that kept you from making treasures in heaven. And then you're going to hate those things. They should be nothing now. So this evening, Lent begins in Vespers. After the prokimenon, it's a penitential prokimenon. We change to dark vestments. The choir begins to sing in Lenten mode. And then we begin a Lenten journey with forgiveness of each other. But why? Why do we start it that way? Because holding on to resentment becomes between us and God. Turning away from resentment is a turning away from the works of darkness. Forgiveness has giving in it. Forgiving. We're giving. It's turning to the works of light, which are also giving. And then after forgiveness, we turn to fasting. Why? Fasting is a way of not accepting the desires and urges of our fallen nature are natural and normal. We don't see them as natural and normal. We're living in an unnatural state. The goal is to get back to the natural state. And that's why Lent is called a return to Eden. We're putting the spirit over the flesh and its passions again, at least for a while, as it was in the beginning. Adam and Eve sinned because they ate what was not permitted. So now we will eat only what is permitted. That could be on one of those bulletin boards in front of the Baptist church, couldn't it? Except they don't do it. But anyway, because no matter, we all have different personal inclinations to sin. We're not all the same. It could be anger, could be lust, could be pride. We all have all of them to some extent, but some, you know, we're more inclined to one or the other. But we all got to eat. That's close to us. That's very close. So during Lent, the idea is to put God even closer than food. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. Amen.